Hello and welcome to a Nerds Assemble Extra edition of the podcast for our Halloween 2013 coverage here at Nerds Assemble and Hex Dimension. Prepare to be spoiled in more ways than one. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Matthew. Hi.
Matt's joined us for the first time. He's actually one of our listeners, and we've managed to kidnap him and drag him in, like, superb, sort of like horror film style. There may be chasing around, you know, like Butcher's Workshop or something, you know, in the near future, but that's fine, you know.
I don't think he realised that was part of the deal.
Oh, okay. For this edition of the podcast, we wanted to talk to you about three particular horror films and their subsequent remakes. And we chose Dawn of the Dead, Maniac, and The Evil Dead. Now, Dawn of the Dead and its remake are the oldest in both, sort of for both versions out of the whole sort of series of films that we're talking here. Maniac then came afterwards. Mind you, the adaptation or remake of Evil Dead kind of happened in the same year or so as Maniac, and obviously The Evil Dead, the original, came out after all of them. So, we're gonna talk about these in a sort of chronological order. So let's take a look at George A. Romero's Dawn of the Dead and the director's cut of the remake Dawn of the Dead, which was directed by
Zack Snyder. Snyder.
It always makes it sound like it's going to break out into, like, Thingy from Buffy. The principal's name.
What is principal's name again?
Yeah.
Principal Snyder.
Yeah.
It is Snyder.
Yes, hence the pronunciation
like
issue.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dawn of the Dead.
It was Principal Quark.
I'll tell you what, he's actually one of the few actors that have been a recurring role on two TV series at the same time.
Which was
Buffy
and Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine, exactly.
Uh-huh. But Dawn of the Dead People.
Dawn of the Dead People.
That makes kind of sense. Okay.
That could have been the title.
Yeah. I suppose Romero didn't want to be sort of like so literal in that sense when he was naming the films.
Well, I mean, obviously, with Dawn of the Dead, it's kind of set in a shopping mall. Both versions are.
Mm.
Which is kind of refreshing that the remake has kind of kept to kind of a certain degree to the original in that respect. And, part of the reason why it was in the shopping mall in the original was to, well, I think what's been extrapolated from it has been that it's kind of a comment on consumerism, mindless consumerism at that.
Well, because when the mall was used in the original, they were quite a new thing in America back then. They weren't something that had been around for very long, so there weren't that many, and people weren't quite au fait with what they were as a thing. So
they were scary on their own, even without zombies?
Yes. I'm sure there were probably ministers somewhere preaching that you probably shouldn't go to them because you would lose your soul.
I mean, obviously, at least the first Dead Rising did have issues with it because obviously it set its game in a mall. It's kind of a interesting place to kind of hold up in a way because you theoretically you've got all of the conveniences there as long as you can eat all the kind of extended food like canned food and whatnot.
Lots of beans.
But they also made a point in the original of where the power was coming from, and they said, "Oh, it was all nuclear." So that kind of insinuating, obviously, that it could last forever. You know, they could have the power for as long as they wanted. Personally, I think they should have been more concerned about what was happening with the sewage and the water supplies. Because if there's one thing that doesn't run automatically forever, it's sewage and water treatment. Just saying.
The thing about the mall is it's big enough that you can use one end for that and the other end for living.
And then hopefully find enough buckets to collect water or rain on the roof.
So, I mean, what would be your favourite? I mean, presumably it's, Black Guy is your favourite of the characters from the original Dawn of the Dead anyway. Because, let's see, the helicopter pilot, he kind of redeems himself towards the end, but then does, spoiler, get killed.
How spoilery are we getting, by the way?
We're allowed to get spoilers as we want because there will be warnings everywhere.
Yeah, and even the new version of Dawn of the Dead has been out for a while now, so...
Yeah.
It's not as though, you know, it's been...
It's a zombie movie. People die.
Yeah,
it was... Spoiler.
Do you know one film where it's really hard for people to die? I'm not going to say it because actually people wouldn't be expecting me to talk about it, so I'm not going to talk about it. But it begins with a P.
Ooh.
And ends in an L. And sounds like it should be a place in Wales.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. But that's too spoilery. Anyway, Dawn of the Dead.
It's too spoilery.
I think the facilities that were available in the original film were far more interesting than in the remake. For instance, they had an ice rink in the original.
Mm, they did.
And actually, they were there.
You only see one person use it once, though.
I have to admit, being on the ice rink in case of a zombie attack... Obviously, that's kind of good because the zombies will slip over and hopefully crack their skulls on the ice.
Failing that, you have blade feet.
Exactly. So you can just, you know, skate around there until the, you know, zombies just die out and then just like, yep, I'm off now.
Do you know what was also interesting in comparing those two films is that, well, the original and the remake, is because there's time differences. The passage of time is very different between two films, whereas... The original, you can clearly see that it's probably set over about 6 months.
Yeah.
Because of, I can never remember their names,
pregnancy.
Is not really at all advanced. She's not showing, which then means that either she's really near the beginning or she's 3 months. Because the copter pilot sort of knows. Meanwhile, in Dawn of the Dead, the woman that's pregnant in that, she's pretty
far, very close.
Very close, yeah. And they're worried about getting near a hospital. And then it seems that the course of the film then takes place over maybe a couple of weeks, more than a month.
I think it's also interesting because in the remake of Dawn of the Dead, they don't actually get the motorcycle, gang kind of coming in and, you know, kind of stripping them all down.
Yeah. But then I think. The reason there was that gang in the original film is because of when the film was made, and during that period there was this kind of weird fascination with representations of gang culture. I mean, you got it in a bunch of Carpenter's films, including obviously like Assault and Precinct 13, and even obviously like Escape from New York, which while set in the future, it still held this bizarre fascination with gang culture and the way they were structured and stuff, and having something like an expanded band of Hell's Angels descending upon a shopping mall, I think kind of played into like the fact that gang culture was evolving at the time and people were very unsure of how to deal with it.
The original as well, with the biker gang, was making the final villains of the film in a way humans. So humans were worse than the zombies, which is something that happens a lot in zombie things. The whole of The Walking Dead is about that.
Yeah.
In the new Dawn of the Dead, it's just zombies. They're just fighting zombies at the end. And in fact, the humans all start working together except for that one guy, Steve, who gets his. Ha!
Yeah. I think, with the ending to... because that was actually changed... the original Dawn of the Dead's ending. Originally, it was meant to be that Ben basically shot himself in the room, and there's actually a clip of the woman, poking her head out of the helicopter,
and
she was meant to be
blades.
Chopping her head off, basically.
Yeah.
With that, and they obviously changed it so that Ben thinks, "No, screw it, I'm going to live," and fights his way back up to the chopper,
which
and,
is very heroic and awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, and they. They kind of almost live happily ever after on an island with nightmares, but...
Wait, no, that's not how... No, that's the third one. You don't
this,
see...
This one just
you,
ends with them flying away.
Fair enough.
With very little fuel, they've established.
Right, fair enough, yeah.
So how far they're going to get, you don't know.
Yeah, but with the new Dawn of the Dead, they did actually make a point that they did manage to get to the boat. They sacrificed...
Yes.
Quite a few people to get there, but they basically were running out of food when they were on the boat, and this is kind of all
and
wearing through the credits.
Running out of fuel.
They managed to get to the island, But the island was infested as well, and they all died on that.
Yeah, that was the stupid thing. It's like thinking, oh, it's going to be okay on an island. Because that logic plays up in a couple of the Romero films and a couple of other things. And it's just like, it's not going to be better on an island. If this, you know, you don't know quite easily how things have been transmitted between cases.
It makes even less sense in a Romero film because all the dead get up. Yes. It doesn't matter whether the zombies can reach it. There will be zombies there.
Mm.
In the new one, it was only spread by bites. So you've got a better chance, I suppose.
Mm.
But then they didn't even establish whether or not the zombies would be in the water.
Yeah.
Which in the... Was it the thingy Romero film? That would be the... It's not. It's after Land of the Dead. It's after Diary of the Dead.
Was it
Survival of the Dead?
That's the one. Survival of the Dead.
They do operate in water.
Can I make a terrible confession? Until this week, the only Romero film I'd ever seen was Diary, which is not a good introduction, shall we say?
Yeah.
So this one's a lot better, guys. This one's really good.
Well, I mean, the original Night of the Living Dead, it obviously had a serious case of the useless female syndrome. The remake of Night of the Living Dead, though, Barbara was kick-ass.
Well, the thing is, though, is that if you're going to talk about Night of the Living Dead for a moment, and Barbara being absolutely useless, all the women being absolutely useless, they do all seem to come from relationships and stuff whereby they weren't ever empowered by anyone around them, so they seem to have been in kind of like a situation of just complete self-doubt, that they aren't capable of doing anything to help themselves.
Was this one sort of a reaction to that one then, do you think? Because I wish I could remember the characters' names, but the woman's obviously a lot more proactive in this one. And when they start talking about aborting her baby, she shuts them down. Mm. And that seemed to be making kind of a point.
I mean, to be honest, it wasn't just that, but actually from a logic sense of view, without proper medical facilities, aborting a child that's like at least 3 months along or something is a very dangerous thing to do. And you would need medical facilities, and the abortion itself would be more likely to kill her than actually seeing it through and potentially giving birth.
I don't know. It was a very well-stocked mall. They could have had a giant operation suite in there.
Oh, do you know what? In the original, when they've cleaned up the mall, as it were, inside originally, and they're sort of setting up shop, and they put the dead zombies in the meat lockers. And I'm just like, and all the freezers and stuff. I'm like, okay, so they're not going to rot. At the same time, though, if you've got power still, you might wanted to have used those.
Might have been useful.
So I
couldn't believe it when they did that.
I mean, I think in terms of kind of modern zombie films, I think it's kind of gone away from Romero's ones. That I think 28 Days Later, Zombieland is a good one. Even though it's kind of comedy, it has a lot of sense in there and a lot of lore, which I really enjoyed.
But in Dawn of the Dead, you don't really get much explained to you. The zombies are just kind of there. We know bites are a serious problem, that the disease can progress quite quickly.
And actually, if you think about it, in the first two of the original Dead films, in fact, even the remake of the Dawn of the Dead, there's a lot of basically doing your own thing, but sitting by, waiting for information to come through, rather than trying to figure stuff out for yourselves.
And then, of course, the relying on society to give you a helping... I think there's some kind of dialogue going on there about relying on society and government to help you in times of crisis. And actually, the systems will ultimately break down because they can't deal with chaos.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at the whole... was it the nuclear situation with the whole duck and cover?
Videos, oh, from... Yeah, from just after World War II.
Those videos are frankly amazing.
They are, yeah.
If I start humming Bert the Turtle now, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But I think this is an interesting... Obviously, we're talking about remakes and their originals here. And this, I think, is certainly a case where the remake is not an awful interpretation of the original. In fact, they're quite on level with each other.
I mean, I think part of the problem is that Dawn of the Dead seemed to be everybody's favourite of the original trilogy. And when you've got something like that, it's a bit like Terminator 2. It's so iconic that anything that comes after it, it's going to be outshone by its predecessor.
Yeah.
So I think it was quite an interesting and tough decision to actually remake Dawn of the Dead, because there'll always be that kind of thing happening. But I think the new version of Dawn of the Dead actually did a lot better than, well, I expected.
And, you know, at least there weren't grey zombies.
That's true. But
there were fast
they
zombies.
They were missing the Hare Krishna zombie, to be fair.
Oh, he was brilliant, and he wasn't even grey, he was blue.
Yeah.
He was a Smurf man. It's amazing how quickly people went grey when they died as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And I do remember there has been in production that Hare Krishna zombie in kind of toy figurine form. Which I find absolutely brilliant. I'd love to add that to my collection. Not that I have that.
Your massive collection of zombies.
Well, I don't have them. In fact, no, I don't even have a collection of zombies. I have, small... Not the ones that Emily and Matt are talking about. Looking at now.
There's but, an army of minis looking at us.
Yeah. But we do have a couple of figurines. We have... I believe some Final Fantasy characters and Leon S. Kennedy in kind of a, I don't know, maybe a 8-inch or so kind of figurine.
Anyway, are we saying that the two versions of Dawn of the Dead can stand on their own?
They're so different. Mm. I it's barely a remake. It's a much more of a reimagining. They took a small group of characters during a zombie apocalypse, put them in a mall, and everything else is different.
Mm. Including kind of what happens and... say, for example, like on the roof, when they're playing, like games and whatnot, with the gun shop owner. Obviously, that wasn't in the original because, you know...
That was my favourite thing in the film. The dynamic between those two and the idea that they just can't reach... They're one street away, but they can't reach each other.
Yeah. I have to admit, though, there was one thing I argued. You say there was the ingredients for DIY prenatal care in the mall. I say there were the facilities in the new film to make a rocket that you could tie bits of rope to shoot over to the shop to then hang baskets of food and sort of like sling them down so that the guy didn't have to starve, rather than using the goddamn dog.
They weren't there long enough to think of this stuff.
I mean, it's kind of interesting because you kind of watch zombie films and there's a lot of times where you go, no, don't do that, don't do that! And I think that was one of the points where it's like the dog was kind of going running through. It's like, why aren't you kind of, you know, trying to get the attention of the zombies?
Yeah.
So that, you know, the dog can just go straight through. And it's, oh. If they would have done that, then the guy could have been saved.
Could have. Could have, would have, should have.
Yeah. It does make me wonder what kind of things would happen in an actual zombie apocalypse. I mean... Do you reckon would be as stupid as that, or do you reckon all of these kind of zombie texts has kind of hardened, people so that they will kind of have better chance?
Depending on how fast they move, it'd never get that far.
Okay, so you think it's actually unrealistic to have like such a widespread?
Zombies cannot. The thing about slow zombies is that Romero zombies work because every dead person in the world gets up at the same time and starts attacking people.
Mm.
That could spread. But if it's spread by bites and they move slowly, it's not going to spread more than 5 people before they're all dead. People will stop them before it gets out of the building.
Yeah.
Which is why in a lot of films people wake up in hospital or they wake up in the morning and the world's gone to hell overnight and things. It's so that you can skip the how exactly did this happen part, because it never makes any sense.
There again, a lot of zombie films actually have the zombies running, which obviously has been popularised by 28 Days Later.
Mm-hmm.
Even though technically that wasn't a zombie film, that was kind of a bit like Left 4 Dead. It was basically just an infection that kind of has spread. But anyway, yeah, moving on to Maniac.
That guy's a maniac. Why did he bite me?
You're just referring to the Resident Evil 2 play that we've got going.
Yes, yes, I am. But by the same token, we are also talking about a maniac.
How much of a maniac, Paul?
A terribly maniacal maniac. Does that make sense?
Maybe.
Possibly.
I mean, to be honest, I'd never even really heard of it before actually researching this. So I think it's one that has definitely kind of slipped through the mainstream net.
Well, the original.
The original, at least, yeah. And I've never really been into kind of slashes. I've more been into kind of supernatural kind of horror or, you know, things like that, rather than, you know, a guy is crazy and, you know, does crazy stuff. Because the crazy excuse just seems rather... Meh.
It's a kind of a get-out clause for narrative, having a crazy person. It does feel a bit like it. It's like, yeah, this horrible stuff's happening because of a crazy person who somehow managed to slip through the net of society and never ended up in the care of local authorities.
In any other slasher flick where it's simply some random crazy, I would say yes. In this one, not so much. Because this is all about him and how he thinks and like getting to know him and understand how crazy he is.
It's kind of an interesting case because you're actually taking the perspective of the killer rather than of the victim.
Literally in the remake.
Exactly, yeah. And with the original, you didn't really kind of get quite of a strong or obvious sense of where his madness actually comes from.
Yeah.
But in the remake, it is far more, explicit or exposition. Yeah. Exposition.
There's mummy problems. Big mummy problems. It puts Psycho to shame.
Was this made after Psycho? I did wonder.
The original Maniac was made after Psycho.
Right.
Obviously the remake as well.
Yeah.
the remake was made before Psycho.
He time travelled.
The original Maniac was made in the, was it early 80s? Like, it's... Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it from the cover. It's got a very 80s vibe to it. Which is kind of interesting because, the other... apart from Evil Dead was... Was that late 90s or early
80s? No, it was
80s. Early 80s, okay. Well, I know stuff like Hills of Eyes and whatnot. There is kind of a 70s and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Hills of Eyes is 80s as well.
Oh, god damn it.
Hills of Eyes, actually, I'll talk about that later.
There goes my
theory. I've got a thing I can say about Hills of Eyes, but that's not until we talk about Evil Dead. Continue with Maniac. I think it's interesting in the fact that if you look at the physicalities of the different actors... Between two films. So the original, you've got a gentleman who's quite...
Rotund.
His size is actually made out to be quite grotesque. Like, he's too big than you think. And
someone pointed this out, that in the remake, when Elijah Wood goes on his internet date... The woman goes, oh, thank God, I was worried you were going to be some huge, fat, greasy-haired weirdo. And you go, oh, it's the guy from the first one.
But, and then you've got Elijah Wood in the remake, and he's tiny little Frodo.
I think...
What could he possibly do?
Yeah, I think... what was it? I described the remake of Maniac with Elijah Wood as what would happen if Frodo kept the ring.
And move to the big city.
Yeah. Just, you know, Legolas, I need to borrow your hair. What?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Obviously, the whole... Like, it was kind of building on the kind of stereotypes of sort of criminology in serial killers in that they would take some kind of trophy from their victims. And in the case of Maniac, it was sculpting. And it was just like... Oh, it was just so grim. Even in the original, when you consider the effects involved, I wouldn't have thought there was that much change, actually, when you think about it, between the two.
Yeah.
But just watching his first sculpting, and it's just the grimmest. Like, to me, it was grimmer than watching Thingy's partially hidden foot in Dawn of the Dead, in the original, getting kind of grabbed by one of the zombies where he's already been bitten, and he's just like, how? To me, the sculpting in Maniac was far more gruesome and just looked far more
Yeah, of the three, or of the six, the two maniacs were the hardest to watch by a long way.
I think it's because they were more set in reality. I mean, the idea of zombies and supernatural undead demon things trying to escape into the world. You don't imagine those happening, but some psychopathic killer or sociopath, you know, stalking the streets of a big city where there's so many people, no one's necessarily always going to notice when someone goes missing.
Well, I mean, it's actually quite funny because, you know, kind of going on from that sense of realism, with Maniac, he, you know, part of the reason why he kills is for kind of a sexual kind of thrill, which kind of goes into psycho...
Psychoanalysis, but also just in general.
Might be getting too academic.
And also it just goes into a lot of older versions and of criminological or criminology and forensic psychology theory in the idea of there being a sexual impulse behind any of the killing. And obviously in the original, it's hinted at that it is his mum that's responsible for any of this happening. Yeah. It's hinted at that she might have brought men home either because she was a nymphomaniac or because she actually was like a prostitute. And obviously in the new one, it's made far more implicit that it's because she's a prostitute. And
absolutely. There's less to the less left to the imagination in the new one, which kind of works and kind of doesn't.
I think it works, because if we are trying to get inside the killer's head, which you sort of are in both versions, showing what has happened to him really helps with that.
Well, I mean, one obviously the one thing about the remake of Maniac with Elijah Wood is that most of the film is actually from his perspective, literally. It's from his point of view, apart from a couple of times when he's actually killing, in which case you kind of get a sense of it's kind of coming out of himself.
Well,
and
yeah, because
there was always
it's not just that, but in both films there was the suggestion that there were two personalities at war, and that one personality that was
at least two
that was certainly coming through that wanted to obviously maim all these women and occasionally men.
Was he arguing with himself, though, or was he arguing with his mum?
That's a good question.
He can't have had a mother personality, because that would have been way too psycho. But I took it to be
maniac,
him blaming his mum for what he was doing.
Perhaps.
In a way.
I know, it felt like it might have been another side to himself rather than a personality that was his mother.
But I did find that at one point during the original Maniac, I thought I'd blinked and missed something, because at one point he somehow meets up with that woman that photographs him in the park.
Yeah.
And that just seemed like, how did that happen?
I had
to explain.
The time frame in the first one is really weird, because there's a bit where they've just met, and then they're like, thanks for coming to the funeral with me, and you go, what? And it looks like suddenly they've been dating for weeks, and you have no idea what's happening.
Yeah. Whereas at least in the remake, you know, you can kind of get a sense of the woman's into mannequins, which makes a lot more sense
than she took
the original. And so I think a lot of the time, when they've changed stuff from the old to the new, it's actually worked a lot better.
I think this one's the easiest to say which film is the better of the two.
Yeah, absolutely. It is the remake.
And it is absolutely the
and
remake.
I've actually found that I kind of enjoyed the soundtrack a bit more to the... it seemed
what's
kind of
weird.
Really
well,
crazy.
What's weird, though, is that they kind of put in like a sort of post-disco soundtrack in the remake when it's set today. That was the weird thing, because obviously in the original, it was made as disco was slowly dying off. And the remake is like, the disco's kind of gone, but here's a slightly discotheque kind of soundtrack leeching in to sort of like everything.
And I feel like a lot of the time nowadays, when we get a remake of something, the aesthetic changes. And this one actually felt the better for it, I felt. It felt kind of cleaner and, you know, more crisp and, you know, better clarity in general.
Would it be a good point to mention that Maniac, the remake, has been banned in New Zealand?
Really?
Yeah, Frodo can't watch it at home.
That's
well, not that I'm saying Elijah Wood's from New Zealand, but you get where I'm going with this.
You're hobbitist.
Yeah. I'm not surprised, to be honest. And I have a feeling, though, that what we've got over here might have been censured by the BBFC. They're getting a bit iffy about 18s these days.
Yeah.
At the same time, what is left is incredibly graphic.
Yes.
Yeah. It felt uncomfortable. Well, I mean, I think it was designed to be uncomfortable to watch. But, yeah, the remake was, like, even more so because it was literally from his perspective. It felt like you were the one actually scalping these women.
I didn't have time to look, but did anyone see the special feature saying how they did any of that stuff? Because it was incredible that they kept it up for as long as they did and how good it looked.
I didn't
have
time to look at special features. But before we handed over the copies of the films to you.
Yes.
So
I didn't have time. Sadly.
But, yeah, Maniac is, the remake is the superior film. But at the same time, I think the original was, it was the time, I think its budget was perhaps less than some of the Dead films.
Yeah. Mm.
And also, I have a feeling that the parties involved were perhaps less experienced. Though it wasn't, I'm not remembering, but wasn't Mr. Savini in the original Maniac?
Yes.
In some capacity.
He was, yes. He was the guy in the car that was trying to get with a girl, and she was like, no, ooh, over there, kind of thing, ooh, where it's dark. It's like, ooh, yes, okay, ooh. Ah, there's a guy outside. What? There's no guy outside. There's a guy outside.
So to clarify, Tom Savini has been in three of the films that we are talking about this night.
Yeah.
He's been in the original Dawn of the Dead, he's been in the remake of Dawn of the Dead, and he's in the original Maniac. I didn't see him in the remake of Maniac, so perhaps we escaped him this time.
Escaped him? He's awesome!
Okay.
Savini is awesome.
Okay, he's a doll, but, you know, it's kind of weird, just kind of like you do in horror films, get people who just like acting in horror, and that you slowly trace them.
Well, to be fair, it's not just acting in horror, because
special effects.
Yeah, he does special effects. I think he directed one of the newer Dead films. But
I think he might have directed the remake of Night of the Living Dead.
I think he might be all right there.
But anyway, going back to Maniac, it's just it's the fact that having read a bit about psychology. Well, I did psychology for 2 years at college. And I've read a couple of books on criminology and forensic psychology.
As you do,
for fun. And you can tell that between the two films have basically, they've got different interpretations of criminological sort of theory and forensic psychology and the psychological makeup of killers. Like the 20 plus years, well, almost 30 years of psycho theory development for that kind of area, at least it has been fed in to Maniac, so they haven't completely ignored what's happened from in the real world.
Yeah.
From perhaps a sort of diagnosing and pathology perspective. At the same time, they were still perhaps incredibly unrealistic. I'm not saying that you're going to find lots of scalping serial killers running amok in major cities. At least I hope you wouldn't.
Or are you?
It does remind me slightly of that one quote from Inglourious Basterds, though.
Oh, yeah.
There's something like, something along the lines of, each of you owe me, ten Nazi scalps. And I want my scalps!
What you're saying is that Elijah Wood had a really tough time during World War II.
Yes! That's why he needed the scalps.
And then he lost his ring. It's just been a bad lie.
Yeah. Could have got away with it if he just would have, been invisible. Okay, moving from Maniac to Evil Dead, or The Evil Dead, whichever way you want to do it. So we've also looked at the original, and that's The Evil Dead, as in the original, before they did the whole Evil Dead 2, where it's kind of a reimagining stroke reboot stroke something.
Sequel.
Yeah.
Parody?
And parody.
Almost.
Yeah, they kind of changed the genre for the second one, but this is focusing on the original, the tree rape enthused version.
And the subsequent remake that came out earlier this year. So
yeah.
And
yeah, to be honest, with the Evil Dead, at least with the originals, it's synonymous with Bruce Campbell. I'm sorry, but it is. And I do believe that he may have signed on for Army of Darkness 2. So I'm not entirely sure how that's going to work with the remake of Evil Dead.
I don't think they'll come together in any way or form.
They are talking about it, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, they're saying there will be an Army of Darkness 2, a reboot Evil Dead 2, if that makes sense, and then the film after that will combine the two, and Ash will meet Mia if she lasts that long.
But there's the humour aspect.
You didn't think the new Evil Dead was funny? Really? I thought this one was hilarious. I had so much fun. That's just me. Okay.
I mean, the original Evil Dead, obviously it was I found it quite interesting because I don't know, when it comes to Cabin in the Woods type films, usually you have a bunch of obnoxious, you know, kind of teenagers. And this one, they seemed a bit more grown up. Okay, so the one or two of them were still a bit obnoxious. But on the whole, they seemed much more likeable as a group.
You didn't necessarily want them dead from the outset.
Because that's how you feel when it comes to, you know, most slasher films. Like, you know, Wrong Turn and whatnot.
I'll just
kill them, get on with it, it's fine. But, yeah, and it's... I think in this one, because obviously they're going to the basement to kind of get the book and whatnot. Well, they do that in the remake as well. So I felt that the original had, a bit like with Maniac, it had kind of less reason for them going there other than, you know, they're just going on, you know, a camping holiday.
Yeah.
With the remake, they actually had reasons behind them all being there.
Yes.
In that there was an actual family tie to the property and it was an intervention.
Exactly. Which kind of made the character interactions more interesting. In a way, because like with the original Evil Dead, the only person that you kind of felt for was Ash, really.
The first one gets whittled down really quickly as well. Yeah. It's Ash on his own almost halfway through. And then it's the world against him because the world just loves torturing Bruce Campbell, apparently.
It's what he was made for.
Yeah, I was actually quite surprised because obviously there's the iconic image of Ash with a chainsaw for a hand.
Mm.
And I was actually quite surprised that in the original Evil Dead, he doesn't actually hack off his
hand,
that's
the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed, actually, in the new one when the girl cuts her arm off with the
meat cutter,
turkey automated cutter thing, that her hand didn't get up and start running around and chasing people like it did in Evil Dead 2. I was so sure it was going to do that. I was really looking forward to it.
I was disappointed that it led to infection.
Yeah.
I mean, I think with the lore of the reboot as well, it was far more grounded in terms of it's kind of a prophecy of what will happen. Whereas the original, it was basically just evil kind of, you know, being...
The book's a thing. I'd forgotten the book, you read from the book and bad things happen.
I'd forgotten in the original that they didn't even read the book. They just played a recording of someone else reading the book and that was enough. That seems silly.
But at the same time, kind of cool, because it was just kind of like...
It's more realistic than reading it out loud, I suppose, like the guy on his own in the second one,
though. What I want to know, though, is in the original Evil Dead, how the hell did that recording survive the original kind of outbreak that is meant to have sort of happened when he read those words? And also, you know what? I'm so glad that the book got seriously revamped in the remake.
Without the hideous face on the front.
Well, it's not just that, but the original book in the original film, or maybe it's just because of budget and stuff, but it looked really pants. Like, if you looked at the pages, they looked like colouring pencil.
Interesting fact, you can get a pair of pants that look like that book.
Seriously?
Yeah, with the face on the crotch. Okay, moving on.
Necronomapants.
I couldn't, you know what, I was disappointed by the lack of movie posters in the new Evil Dead.
That's true, actually. Yeah,
in The Evil Dead and The Evil Dead 2, there are movie posters. In The Evil Dead, it's just The Hills Have Eyes is on a wall in the basement.
I had not noticed.
That's what I was waiting to tell people.
I inspired this!
Yeah.
Callback.
Which was a remake I did consider doing for this, but I decided not to.
To be honest, I was actually a bit disappointed that Bruce Campbell didn't actually turn up in the remake.
What, in some kind of cameo?
Yes, even like a cameo would have been, you know, good.
He's there.
Is he?
At the end of the credits, guys.
Uh-oh.
What?!
Bruce Campbell steps into the light out of shadow and says, "Groovy." And then it ends.
Well, that's all we've missed. That doesn't sound like the ending to The Wolverine, which you should watch.
You haven't missed much, but he's okay. Totally in it.
Oh, man! I should have stayed till the end.
Which makes a crossover more likely, but it also means that in a potential crossover, there would be two main characters with a chainsaw instead of a left hand.
I recently ended up seeing Terminator Salvation again. We cannot deal with films with two protagonists. It doesn't work. Nobody can handle it.
Well, this one, it's so stupid that they announced beforehand, Ash is a girl this time, and her name is Mia, and she's the new Ash. Watching the film knowing that doesn't work it's meant to.
No,
you see,
Mia... her twist at the end is genius. You was not expecting that. You're expecting her... well, can I spoil?
Yeah, we're allowed to spoil.
Okay. You're expecting her, when she's, like, dead and buried, to either stay dead and buried, and, you know, him kind of trying to resuscitate her has been for naught, or she gets up and she's still possessed.
Yeah.
You were not expecting her to be normal.
I was not expecting her to have magically healed all her third-degree burns and sewed her tongue back together. I wasn't expecting that.
I suppose that's evil.
Does that work with the dismemberment one as well? If you dismember them so they're not possessed anymore, do they then not be dismembered anymore by magic?
It depends how strong the magic is.
I mean, if you have like an evil aberration and you get rid of it, do you return to normal, or do you still... Yeah.
I think comparing some of the themes... Well, not themes, but sort of scenes from the two films, we still had a rape thing going on.
We did, and it was horrible in both. Like, it was...
Yeah.
It was far worse than you were, because the first one is grungy and horrible, and in a way, I think it was the only horror movie in this list.
Can I just ask, because there's obviously been a lot of... within horror, a lot of kind of sex and kind of blood and horror and type thing together. And with Silent Hill, the film, that one had barbed wire.
I've only seen the TV cut, but I've heard about this.
You've only seen the TV cut?
Yeah, you don't get that bit in the TV cut, but yes,
surprised.
I know about
it. Do you get the bit where Pyramid Head...
Nope, not that bit either.
Wow.
He picks the girl up and then the doors close.
Wow.
Guy up, I can't remember who he picks up. He picks up a person and the doors close. You don't get to see him skin nobody.
Blimey, we went to the cinema to see that, and that was a 15 in the cinema, wasn't it? And
yep.
We walked out of there saying, how the hell is that not an 18? Barbed wire rape, being skinned alive. Two separate incidents as well. Just have to make that clear. And yeah, I mean... Which do you think is worse, being raped by a tree or being raped by barbed wire?
I'll take the tree. She didn't die like barbed wire person
That's
did.
That's true.
it's just kind of weird, the whole kind of like using sex in a demonic situation.
Yeah.
With it's just really creepy. It's body horror, and it's just completely and utterly and horrific.
I mean, what do you think it is? Do you think it's because there's not really a legitimate face per se put on most horror films, so it's obviously kind of a niche from the get-go. So do you reckon they can kind of get or work it in because of that? Or, you know, so they don't have to, you know, kind of think about, like, mainstream audiences or anything?
Maybe. Or maybe they just can't be bothered to show a guy being done up the bum by a tree.
I want my next horror film. Well, say my next horror film, but I want a horror film with a guy being bummed up by the tree.
There we go.
Because it's not like she was impregnated in the original. Okay, in the remake, there was a clear hint that it resulted in a form of impregnation. Mm. But in the original, that was not necessarily the hint at all.
No, it was just there.
And so it's like, no, you could have had a guy. But I mean, I suppose I'm asking for some progressive from a time period that wasn't as progressive as it could have been.
But still, I still thought it felt worse in the new one. It felt more out of place and just strange.
Unnecessary.
Very strange.
I mean, that's the thing, actually. Because if you think about it, there was that the obviously evil entity that had Thingy, you know, her kind of face and body and whatnot.
Yeah.
So maybe that's how she can, you know, kind of survive the burns.
Was that her, or was that the girl from the beginning who gets torched?
Well, the girl at the beginning who got torched was blonde, wasn't she?
Ooh, I don't remember.
So unless she dyed her hair, or you know, the evil dyed her hair, or something.
I don't think the sister got stupid burns. I didn't think it was. Oh, no, she did get super burned.
Yeah, she's on it since lots
of
hour.
Lots of people got hurt.
Lots of people got hurt. Yeah. Lots.
But go back to the rape thing. I suppose it's unnecessary, but at the same time, at least there was a slight more kind of... it had a reason, be it somewhat loose, in the new one, because of the book.
It wasn't like they put it there because of a legitimate reason, though. They made up a reason because they wanted to have it there because it was in the original, which is the wrong way of
Meanwhile,
going about
nobody
it.
Got stabbed in the foot with a pencil, for which I'm clearly quite disappointed.
You're disappointed that nobody got stabbed in the foot by a pencil?
I'm very disappointed.
Not by a pencil, just see with the pencil on the floor. With another pencil.
You didn't get enough brutal mutilations and horribleness. From that film.
Me and Emily were actually discussing at the time of watching the remake, which one is gorier. And at first I was like, no, the original's gorier because there's, you know, just so much kind of spewing out and, you know, some viscous fluid that I don't even... That isn't it naturally in the human body.
it literally rains blood in the
new
one.
Yes, that's when I was like, you know, I think the new one kind of pipped it.
It took me a while to convince him. I was just kind of saying, it's gorier. No, it's not. It's gorier. No, it's not.
I mean, to be fair, the original was, you know, quite gory. Anyway, so
it's so gory, it's funny. This is what I meant earlier. The new one is so gory, it's funny. It's like Brain Dead and the early Peter Jackson films and Cabin in the Woods. There's just so much blood that it's amazing and fun, and I loved it.
Can I just say though that my favourite Cabin in the Woods style film, because that's almost like a horror subgenre by itself now, is actually Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I've still not seen that.
Ah, we watched it for Halloween last year. So yeah, I really, really enjoy it because it kind of takes the Mickey out of this kind of thing, and it's like the evil rednecks. They're not actually evil, and they're not, well, they're a bit redneck, but they're nice people. And it's actually the other kids that think, "Oh my god, evil rednecks!" and so kind of attack them. But yeah, anyway, that's kind of spoiling Tucker and Dale versus Evil a bit. Sorry.
So which works better then, the original or the remake here?
The original's a better horror film. But then this is me finding things funny that aren't funny, so...
I do like the new aesthetic. As I said about Maniac, you know, the new films do have a, you know, best aesthetic because of, you know, new technologies, like cameras cheaper, you know, better movement and whatnot. And actually, that's one of the things about the original Evil Dead, with the Sam Raimi's kind of evil, kind of, you know, kind of going through low to the ground and, you know, kind of going through the forest at, you know, quite a breakneck speed almost.
And the weird sound effects and music that would accompany that.
Good thing.
That was Bruce Campbell.
No, that was an evil squirrel.
Evil Squirrel is actually the sequel to Evil Dead. We'll be looking at that later.
Well, this time they go after Ash's nuts.
Okay, out of these essentially six films, yeah, though, which would we recommend to, ooh, people to try and get other people to watch as well as themselves?
See, with both Evil Dead and Dawn of the Dead, so basically the two Dead or four Dead films, I would actually say watch both because they've both got their merits. But with Maniac, I would say that the new film is actually better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could live with that choice.
But yeah, I mean it's a bit like as I was talking about earlier on, Terminator 2, you know, the kind of iconic thing. And if they remade Terminator 2 and they actually made it good, then even though it'll be new, it'd still be like, well, I can't really have both of them. Of course, they obviously haven't remade Terminator 2, and they probably won't remake it.
Hopefully. So,
we just need the one. Like Highlander. So, I mean, overall, I would actually say, because I don't necessarily find zombies that scary, because I don't find evil supernatural beings scary, because obviously I don't believe in them, I would actually say that the scariest is probably the new version of Maniac, because it's most realistic and it's kind of worrying that it can possibly happen.
I'm going to go with that as well. It's just the fact that you can rationalise away the other two. You can't that one. There's sort of like, it's just, and obviously it is a superior film to the original Maniac. It's far more detailed. And it makes more sense as to why everything is happening as it is.
And I mean, who would suspect Elijah Wood?
Would you suspect Elijah Wood?
I would now. Check his fingers for jewellery. Make sure he's not playing with anything in his pocket. Then you're safe. I think the new Maniac is the most horrific of the horror films, but not necessarily the most scary. Mm. I thought the first Evil Dead had the most, like, tension and atmosphere and just something horrible is going to happen feeling to it. In Maniac, horrible things were happening all the time. So it never really built up tension to something horrible happening. Mm. But the bit in The Evil Dead where Ash is in the basement and the creepy music is playing and the blood is pouring into the light bulb and things like that, that's creepy and just puts you on edge and you know something's coming and that's scarier to me.
Okay. That makes sense, this sort of anticipation issue.
Yeah.
And the suspense. All the suspense.
So all you didn't feel that the new version kind of did that that greater job that as that?
The only time I thought the new version was scary, and it was really, really scary, was the bit where that girl is in the shower with the glass and you know what she's doing and you can hear her doing it and the lights start flickering and don't pull back that curtain, don't go over there, please don't. Oh God, that bit was just terrifying. But the rest of it, gory happy fun times.
Gory happy fun times. Okay, and that's all we've got time for from this spooky episode. Well, not really spooky, more gruesome.
I'm Matthew Hurd, that's NerdTech UK on Twitter, and I have a movie review blog at nerdtechuk.blogspot.com. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's okay. It's good night from me, Emily King. You can find me on Twitter at EK6891.
And it's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter as Paul Blewett.
And you can find more than just this podcast special and loads of other amazing things at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk. You can also follow Nerds on Nerds Podcast on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook and Google Plus as Nerds Assemble Podcast. And also don't forget to visit Hex Dimension, where this week, when you listen to this episode, hopefully on Halloween week, go on, you know you want to, you will find a whole load of special Halloween features covering numerous areas of geekery and nerddom. Thanks for listening.
Brains.